Unrest in Libya sends global oil prices to new highs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the turmoil in Libya is shocking global oil markets. Is the economic recovery at risk? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow is down 72 points at 12,318. The NASDAQ down 1.5% this morning. The S&P 500 down about 1%. Overseas markets also dropped today. Walmart said this morning that sales rose at its stores overseas, but dropped at its stores here in the U.S., which account for more than 60% of Walmart's business. Now let's get to the situation in Libya and the effect it's having on oil prices. U.S. crude is up almost $7 this morning at about $96 a barrel. That's a 2.5-year high. Julie Neiman is an analyst with Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live now from St. Louis, as she is every Tuesday. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So it seems like oil markets were relaxing a little bit after Egypt's regime collapsed. Why is what's happening in Libya so concerning?
Well, the markets have been blowing off their revolts today. Another day, another despot down. But you're looking at this one as an OPEC producer. About 2 million barrels a day on average is what they've been producing, which is not a huge producer. But operators are shutting down and evacuating. And very slow restart time. You just don't go back in and throw on the switches again. So that production is going to be out. Now, short run, Saudi Arabia can pick it up here. There are other OPEC producers that can pick it up. But the high implication is that there's more unrest headed into the Middle East, and that's where you're seeing prices is really shooting up now. Supply security is being factored in.
Okay, now, Julie, I don't usually drive because I live here in New York, but I was at the pump this weekend in the Northeast, and it was $3.21 a gallon for the cheap gas, which seemed like a lot to me. At what point will what's happening in Libya send prices at the pump here in the U.S. higher?
You're going to be seeing it immediately, simply because producers were swallowing it to some extent in terms of commodity prices. Station operators operate with a weekly load of gasoline with money from last week. They know prices are going up. They're going to have to hike their prices now to pay for what's coming because they're operating on a shoestring. So you're going to see it at the pump almost immediately.
Julie, what's the price of a gallon of gas out there in St. Louis?
Right now, we're looking at about $3 going up to $3.15, but it is headed higher, definitely. We have a lot of refineries here.
Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company, thanks so much.
You bet.
To the housing market now, where things are getting worse. A closely watched index out this morning says home prices in 11 major U.S. cities have fallen to their lowest levels since the collapse of the housing bubble. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
The Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Index of Home Prices
fell in December from November
in all but one of the 20 cities tracked by the report. On top of that, there's word that some of the banks that most aggressively sold subprime mortgage loans may soon see civil litigation from federal regulators. Former executives of failed Washington Mutual Bank could be next in line to face litigation from the FDIC. Christopher Whalen from Institutional Risk Analytics says more suits will follow this one.
There's still 800 banks on the troubled list. If half of those fail, I would guess at least half of the failed banks will see litigation by the FDIC against the officers and directors.
Whalen expects the four biggest banks to receive federal help. Citibank, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and J.P. Morgan could be next. Oh, and the housing market? The only metro area to see a gain in those December home prices was Washington. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 75 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Okay, it's quiz time here on the Marketplace Morning Report, and our quiz master, Stefan Richter of TheGlobalist.com, joins us now from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Jeremy. Are you ready for today's quiz?
I am ready.
Okay, this one is in the context of all the budget debates and what costs money in the United States and for U.S. taxpayers. So my question for you today is this. How much does it cost per year to support one U.S. service member deployed in Afghanistan? Is it A, $67,000 a year, B, $132,000 a year, C, a staggering $685,000 per year, or D, an unbelievable $1.2 million a year?
Well, I am going to guess that it is on the higher end of things, but I will just go with $600,000 a year and not $1.2 million.
Not quite. This number would be right for the war in Iraq, according to numbers from the Washington-based Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. Uh-huh. $685,000, that's, by the way, over 10 times more than the cost of a soldier deployed in World War II. So these wars are getting more expensive all the time.
All right, so I'll guess the $1.2 million.
$1.2 million per year. Of course, the least of that is wages or salary for the soldiers themselves. Most of it is due to the sheer lack of infrastructure in Afghanistan, its geographical position as a landlocked nation. And the biggest single item in this? Fuel costs.
Wow.
Per troop deployed, $200,000 to $350,000 a year. Huh. Just in fuel cost. With all this heavy stuff that's coming in now, that number is probably going to go up as the oil prices are going up.
All right. Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief at The Globalist. You can find out more about the world at theglobalist.com. Thanks again, Stefan.
Good to be with you today.
And finally, what is the most livable city in the U.S.? Well, the Economist Intelligence Unit says it's Pittsburgh. That's because based on everything from culture and education to safety and infrastructure, the Economist says Pittsburgh is the most livable place to be. Honolulu, number two. But get this, not a single U.S. city made the top 25 most livable in the world. Apparently, Canada and Australia are where it's at. You can see where other cities ranked at marketplace.org. In New York, which is apparently number 53, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The typical career of an NFL player is about 4 years, so a lockout is more than just a contract dispute. It could mean idling for a quarter of your career.
So when you talk about taking benefits and taking money away and not having a season, that's not sitting good with me.
I'm Tess Vigeland, the Freakonomics of Football, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.